We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI. Stanley Cup Finals Edition.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show.
A bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports.
What are you guys doing?
Putting on the foil.
Yeah, you want some?
No. And WEEI.com Bruins writer Nat Kalman.
Hey, great. None of that stinking root beer.
Lace them up for some Bees Talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
49 years for that, a 7-2 smackdown. If you're a Blues fan this morning, last night, you are feeling like, what, same old St. Louis? Same old, same old? Or did you see enough in the first three rounds that you're thinking, no problem, like Matt Kalman would write? Nothing to worry about. We'll be back here and even this thing up. That's what Ryan O'Reilly said, actually, after the game last night. We're confident we'll tie the series up. That's our mindset.
So, I think this has been a resilient team basically all season long, so that's something that you can hang your hat on. But, I mean, certainly waiting 49 years for that dud last night can't feel great, because just pretty much everything went wrong for that team last night.
Just like I knew everything was all right because of what Marchand and Pastrnak and everybody was saying right after game two. We heard the same blabber from Carolina and Columbus, too, in certain situations. And obviously the Bruins were behind Columbus 2-1, and it was same type of talk. So I don't necessarily put too much stock in what St. Louis is saying. I mean,
So you don't put stock in what the other team's saying, but
right,
because Marchand and Krug were saying the right things, you believed them, and therefore you knew it was fact.
It's Mastrodamus. It's Mastrodamus.
Oh, man.
God, you've turned into Ty Anderson.
I mean, even for Blues fans who were bred from disappointment, last night had to be an absolutely rip your hair out of your skull sort of game.
And they absolutely overplayed their hand. I mean, trotting out John Hamm for a media availability. And then, you know, it's great to see the girl, Layla, out there. And I just hope that they didn't break her heart. I mean, you're really overplaying it at this point. And, you know, I guess if she wants, she could shift over to the Bruins. There's some
she
nice
was still
guys
great, though, despite all the airtime
yeah,
they
well,
gave
that's
her.
Good.
Even between periods, she was good.
Well, that's good because, I mean,
she's better than half the people that they got working for her.
Now, O'Reilly and their captain, Pietrangelo, both said it's a matter of keeping them off the power play. This is post-game stuff. O'Reilly, yeah, we started the way we wanted to. We had a good jump. We were composed. Then we had breakdowns and we started to fall apart. Then we got into penalty trouble. We got away from our game. So that's obviously a cliche. But you wrote today that it was intentional, that it's not the fact
it
that
sure
things
looks
got
it
away.
If it's not intentional, it sure looks it.
This is a dirty
listen,
team.
The worst play to me, the one that really sealed it and made me text you to say, gee, is this team really trying to take shots at them, is on the Achari empty net goal. No chance to stop him. He's going to score. And Pietrangelo just takes a swing at him, you know, baseball style at his leg, gets the slashing penalty. But maybe it should have been a major. Maybe he should have just been thrown out of the game right there just to defuse the situation.
Did he make contact?
He definitely, I think he at least brushed him. But it was the type of swing that if he had been closer, he could have hurt him. And the question is, you know, what are you guys trying to do? Are you trying to play this game the right way? I mean, you know, in the San Jose series, I don't think anyone was necessarily thinking that they were doing anything dirty to injure Carlson.
They were just targeting them.
They were targeting him. But this is like every hit, like you said earlier in the show, every hit is high, every hit is arms extended, and even some leg on leg. And then this slash is like ludicrous. And, you know, David Perron bumping
the one for me was
his
David Perron when he was in the crease and he just kept shuffling over, trying to get to Tuca.
That was so blatant.
Yeah,
oh, my God. These guys are not good actors.
Relentlessly get to Tuca, and then, oops, I fell on him.
Well, I think what gets me about the Achari thing is that you're not expecting it, because you know you expect there to be some level of respect and courtesy in the National Hockey League at this point, that you're in it's a blowout game, and you're going to score an empty netter, and you're not going to expect somebody to take a big swing at you. And if he lets up and he catches him, he does take a swing and ends up injuring him. What the heck?
Well, I think at this point in the year, every team is going to be dirty to a certain extent. You're always going to be trying to get into the opponent's head and you know, maybe use some greasy tactics to do it. But I feel like the Blues have just in this game especially, have just gotten away from playing hockey. They're just trying to do this crap to get into the Bruins' head, and it's clearly not working.
And I'm sick and tired. I think it's because they hide behind this idea that we play in Missouri, so we're nice, and we're Midwesterners. We don't do any of this stuff. And
like sing you said, country roads.
But it's correct. We sing country roads, and we wait for Gloria, and blah, blah, blah. But
which is a West Virginia song anyway. Yeah. Why are they singing?
I don't know, but is there anything sadder than losing 6-2 or 5-2 and singing country roads in a half-empty arena?
Wait, can we really talk when people sing Sweet Caroline? Well, it's 10-1 in the eighth inning.
We do talk, and we say that it stinks here when it happens. Not in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, the fact that anybody sang that song at that point last night.
And how amazing is it going to be that you and DJ will be able to steal Gloria because they're never going to get to play it on national TV. No one's going to know what they're talking about. It might as well be a Bruins song.
Do they play a chunk of it after goals or no? Like,
no.
I can't hear.
No.
Just post-game.
Just after wins, yeah.
All right, just after the wins. Well, game one, was there anything dirty in game one? Sundquist hit Clifton from behind as he went into the wall. I remember that one. And he got a penalty from it, but it was not quite as bad as I thought it seemed afterwards. You know, if you recall that back in game one.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some questionable hits.
A couple ones. Sammy Blay was going after Coyle. But game two, obviously, the Grizzly hit was the main one, right?
You know, obviously, you had the Krug hit in game one. You had Backes destroyed Blay in that game also. That's where their kind of rivalry started. So the Bruins have had their share of physical play. It's this head-hunting that's going out of control, and it's the things with the stick and the things in the crease, like you're saying, against Tuukka. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so those are two. But I'm saying, do you think the hit on Grizzly from Sundquist wasn't intentional? Like, I'm going at this guy's head. Is this on the – if there's a game plan
target the head. It was clearly boarding. He could have stopped. That's how he got the suspension. He was aiming to punish him. He wanted to finish his check as hard as he possibly could. And then the unfortunate positioning of Grizzly turned it into a headshot, leads to a suspension. But, yeah, I mean, they're finishing their checks high and hard. And when Grizzly's in that position, then it results in what it resulted in.
Right.
Blay and Schwartz ran Tuukka in that game, quote unquote ran. Although I asked Tuukka after the game, and he said it was just hockey. He downplayed it.
Well, he's always going to downplay everything. I mean, to me, that was a good sign for St. Louis, because if you're going to play against a guy with a .950 save percentage, who's been basically sitting in a recliner in the crease making all these saves, the Carolina game, he's making saves without seeing the puck. You have to get in their faces. And I always say, when the Bruins go through these stretches where they're not getting to the net and they're not making it hard on the goalies, if you have to take 2 minutes of goalie interference, at least it's a sign that you have a sign of life and that you're in people's faces. So I have no problem with that. I have a problem with, like you're saying, blatantly going at him in the crease. No one is misunderstanding what you're trying to do there. And then getting in his face after the whistle. I mean, seriously, somebody should have beat his ass right there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I will say Tim Thomas would not have responded as kindly to that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Somebody should show David Perron the blocker punch that he threw at the Sedin, and then say he'll do that again.
Overall, and it's David Perron. He's not intimidating.
Right. And he wears a tinted visor. So, I don't necessarily think that what they're doing to Tuukka is necessarily dirty, because I don't think it's been that egregious, but it's cheap. Yeah. And the fact that they keep doing it and are so shameless about it.
I think the hitting, like I said, the goalie interference, I have no problem with that. You're driving the net, you hit the goalie. The getting in his face after the whistle is just stupid. Why are you? Because the goalie can't really do anything to you.
Right.
I mean, if he hits you with the blocker, he's thrown out of the game, right? So you can't do anything there. So it's great to talk trash to someone who is incapable of doing anything back to you.
I feel like there's a quiet rage boiling inside Tuukka. and if the Bruins win this series, he's going to do something.
Well, that's just it. It's going to be interesting. I know fans will love this. I'm going to put the cart ahead of the horse here. When they win the cup, Chara gets it, gives it to maybe Bergeron second.
I think Tuukka.
Tuukka second? No, it's got to be one of the. It's got to be Backes or Bergeron.
It's going to be Bergeron.
It's going to be Bergeron. Then it's going to be Backes, and then it's going to be Tuukka.
What a letdown that would be.
What are you talking about?
They're
winning this for Backes. What the heck? Have you not been paying attention?
He's playing like 5 minutes a night.
But he's the St. Louis factor.
He's a leader on this team. He's a captain. I mean, he's one of the captains.
Oldest guys,
and the guy
one.
That they've leaned on all through this whole playoffs.
He gets it like fourth or fifth,
not second.
He second.
He gets it third.
It's a good
after Bergeron,
after all
it's one
the
of the
mud
letters.
That Tuukka has crawled through since 2013.
Tuukka gets it fourth.
No, he gets it. He gets it handed from Chara.
No way.
Tuukka Rask.
It won't happen that fast.
Tuukka or Puka.
Tuukka's not going to want that attention.
Who have we done a segment about called Tuukka or Puka every show that we've done since we started?
It doesn't matter. They're going to give it to another captain.
If Tuukka wins Conn Smythe, you might have to give him to him a little quicker.
That's right.
Now, Bergeron, maybe. I could see Bergeron, just because he's Don Cherry's
because
guy.
Chara and Bergeron are basically co-captains of this team. It's always been that way, and he's going to give it to him. And then there's no doubt Bergeron's going to pick the sentimental guy, the David Backes. He's the Mark Recchi of this team. You give it to him next. And then Tuca's fourth.
Tuca it's or Puka.
If they do that, Backes should announce his retirement on the spot and say, I'm giving you cap space back for the next 3 years.
Well, no, again, it won't be cap space. The NHL doesn't work like that. He can retire. They're still going to have his cap hits.
So. Now, Pete, you liked Pat Maroon going at Chara to goad him into a penalty.
Right. I didn't necessarily like it. I thought that it was effective.
Neither one of those guys should have got a penalty for that, though.
No, I agree, like, but Pat
considering
Maroon,
all the stuff they let go in this series, that was a penalty?
Right. But I mean, Pat Maroon got exactly what he wanted. He got under Chara's skin to get him off the ice. And if you're a Blues fan, you're going to take the Pat Maroon for Zdeno Chara trade every single day of the week.
Did you know Pat Maroon took less money to stay with the Blues?
Did you hear
about that?
But I give him credit for that beyond just that's what he was told to do. That's a tough task. You're going to go up to Chara and get in his grill.
Chara
wanted to fight him.
Yeah.
I know. I was hoping for fight number 3.
I'm still waiting for the fight in this series because the fact that Backes and Blais or Backes and anyone haven't fought yet is pretty amazing.
Neither team has fought in the entire playoffs. Somebody tweeted out. Is that correct?
Yeah, sounds right.
I mean, I'm going to buy that. I'm just going to latch on
we'll
to that.
We'll just throw it out there. It's true now. It's on the radio.
Backes and Edmondson were going at it. Barbashev and Clifton
Edmondson is the guy who obviously decided, you know what, I'm sick of hearing all this Backes and St. Louis talk, and I guess maybe he wasn't one of the ones that was teammates with him 3 years ago, so maybe he took it apart himself to say,
I'm the new guy.
we're not really friends with you anymore, because he's been in his face the whole time.
But he's terrible. He's been bad this series.
And it's so dumb to waste energy on the guy who plays 9 minutes a game. They should probably let Backes sleep, because the less you engage him physically, the less he brings to the Bruins.
But in summary, you feel like St. Louis is a dirty team.
Absolutely. They are 100% headhunting, dirty.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that they're headhunting. I think they're cheap, and they're intentionally greasy.
But they have to be, though.
Right.
They're outmanned.
They
play a heavy game.
It's almost a sign that they're already defeated, that they're playing this way, because where's the hockey in this?
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's a fine line between doing that stuff to your advantage and doing that stuff and hurting yourself.
Right.
And they're not finding the sweet spot there by any means. They're only hurting themselves.
Maybe in game 2 they did a little bit, but then even then it took a 6-on-5 going overtime to win the game.
They still gave way too many penalties in game 2.
Sure. I mean, how great. I mean, their only hope right now is that Binnington comes back. He plays lights out to get you to 6 or 7, where maybe you've taken such a toll on this team. Who knows how many more Bruins players will get knocked out of this series if it goes long enough, and then you try to win it. But clearly, you know, team against team, they're not going to do it.
Well, no, it's a good point. Like, if that's their goal, is to be greasy, dirty, over the line, whatever, it's kind of level the playing field.
You know,
and it's blowing up on them. Now, do they change that and just
I don't think so, because I think I think they've already seen that we're defeated if we don't do it this way.
But they're defeated if they give Boston a power play at all.
As many power plays as they've gotten, they can't call everything. It's like the old, you know, NBA in the 90s when people are beating the crap out of each other. You can't call everything. So
just raise the bar a little bit.
Exactly. And so if you're calling every third one, maybe the two out of the three are hurting somebody.
That makes what happens in game 4 especially huge, especially the start, because if you get out into an early lead and you get into their head and under their skin and they collapse in on themselves again, I don't see them going away from that stuff. I only see it getting worse as they try to get back into a game with desperation.
Yeah,
right.
It's only going to be worse for them.
I mean, and that's the thing too. There's only one goal of this is to injure, because as we saw after the DeBrusque penalty, which I would argue was a retaliatory penalty even though it was a different player, the Bruins stopped giving into this. They're not going to get knocked off their game mentally. They're just a strong enough mental team. They're not going to have this happen. And you were talking about Tuca and Perron in his face and what Tim Thomas would have done, but the thing that epitomizes this team and its ability to stay focused and lean on its veterans and not get over the line is Tuca just saying, what the heck? Get in my face. I don't care. I'm going to make every save. It doesn't matter.
You're right, but it's amazing with Marchand on the team. That is their mentality.
He's the ultimate turn the other cheek guy right now, right? He hasn't gotten any real trouble. The bop on the head was made up nonsense from, you know, people in Columbus and people in Toronto.
Yeah, but then citing it as they were like undefeated. They went on that 8-0
exactly, because people went so nuts about it that it inspired the Bruins, even though everyone knew it was nothing. And then the stick stomp was just a bunch of nonsense, too. He hasn't really done anything wrong.
I mean, if we're talking about David Backes and Brad Marchand in game game two had a hissy fit on the bench, and Backes was the guy there.
Right.
He was like, reel it in a little bit.
Right, but that's a hissy fit against his own for what he was
right,
doing. Right,
yeah.
It's not, he's not low-bridging anyone or doing or rabbit punching
come
people.
If he if he loses himself,
possibly,
and is going
possibly.
Crazy.
Hey, heat of the moment. That's what he always says. Heat of the moment.
Do you want Backes to get it first?
No, I don't want him to get
first.
It first.
After Char, we'll get it. Obviously, hoist it first.
Bergeron,
and then Backes. The captains. It might even go Krejci next, and then you get the captains, and then Drask.
God,
Tim Thomas didn't get it that early. I remember. You know, Tim Thomas, I want to say he was probably fourth.
I don't
we
give
have to go
a crap
back.
What order they get it in, to
that's
be
significant.
Honest with you.
Come on, that's always talked about. Who gets the cup first?
Well,
the first guy
just
to get
it in
from
the time
the
that NBC sticks with the live shot of it before they have to go to, you know, Mike Milbury ripping somebody for winning the cup wrong or something.
Then they move to NBCSN.
Right, exactly.
617-779-7937. I want your thoughts on who gets the cup from Char when they hoist it. Also, your Conn Smythe favorite at this point. Is Kalman right? Is this a dirty hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, that they're playing? And we
dirty.
Started off.
And they hide behind their Midwestern goodness.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Maria in Watertown, the first lady of skate. Hello, Maria.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Hey, Maria.
Wonderful.
I'm not answering the question of who gets the cup first because I'm superstitious, so I'm not even going there.
Well, you'd
right
really
now.
Hate what I've been working on this weekend when I've been home. Oh, my God, you would hate it. Go ahead.
No. Please don't.
Go ahead.
I don't like the mojo there. But with regard to the Blues, you know, I did ask the question on Twitter last night as to whether or not, you know, the Blues might consider changing their strategy since it seems to be backfiring in their faces when the Bees go 4-for-4. And then I listened to Craig Berube's postgame, and basically the answer to my question, it sounds like, is no. He just wants his team to kill off the penalties better. So I don't think that the headhunting is going to stop. And I was trying to give the Blues the benefit of the doubt because I don't mind a little bit of snarl and nasty in my Stanley Cup finals. But I think it's now being taken to a level that is, for lack of a better word, and I know I'm on the radio, distasteful to me, very distasteful. And I don't know whose butt I want to kick first, Perron or Maroon, because I do think that Maroon was getting in, he's starting to get in Tuca's head, or at least he did in that second goal, where I think Tuca was more concerned about Maroon being in front of him than tracking the puck. And the Bruins did seem to unravel a little bit to start the third period, but then they settled it down and realized, let's not play their game. So, you know, whoever did that, I'm glad that it happened, but, you know, I do have concerns of the level of nastiness that St. Louis is taking this to, and I think it's getting to a level that is bordering on headhunting and over-the-top nastiness, and I do think that someone needs to get a handle on it before someone does get pretty seriously injured at this point in time.
The trick to that is win the series in five, and they won't have enough time.
And then be done with it. I agree with you, because I'm looking at this in the same kind of vein as, you know, Columbus and Carolina, where these teams have thrown the best that you have at this point, and you still lost the game. So, you know, maybe the Bruins' counter-strategy is starting to get into their heads a little bit in terms of how much more physical can we get, and we still got our butts kicked 7-2 last night.
Exactly.
Thank you, Maria. Good stuff.
You know, one thing, Berube,
guys.
Berube, we'll hear from Craig Berube coming up.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing that she reminded me of is that they scored two goals, and they were both off of Bruins defensemen.
Right.
So that's nothing to be too proud of either. I mean, she's
although they were giving them so many opportunities on the power play, eventually St. Louis is going to find some things that work. And Parayko at the point bombing away is one
still,
of those things.
It still took a deflection off of Carl for it to...
Yeah, the shot was 8 feet
the
wide.
The puck was going wide. So, you know, I saw hints of this. Hard to believe how bad Carolina rolled over, but I did see hints of this strategy in the Carolina series at certain points where they were starting to just hit people and do things away from the puck, and after the whistles, they gave up because they clearly didn't have the will as a team. Maybe it's because they didn't have enough experienced guys to keep them on track. Maybe because, you know, Dougie Hamilton is their heart and soul, so what are they really made out of? But you saw hints of it, and I started to say at some points in that series, oh, gee, the Hurricanes, maybe from Brind'Amour being the player he was, is doing this, oh, if they can't call everything type strategy where you hit them five times and maybe you'll get called once, they gave up on it, and the Blues have just picked it up and they've run with it, and that's all they do.
Matt in Wilmington is a smart man. I want to get him in before we take the break. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Before I get to the cup exchange, I do think they're dirty. And the play that really sets it all is, too. One, the launch at Pastrnak's head that missed. And if all the other media around in Toronto and wherever were screaming for a charge on Torrey Krug, where's all the crying for that last night? Two, on the empty net goal, Petrangelo with a two-handed slash just out of frustration. That's their captain doing that
right
at the end of a game, right? And so you got that. As far as hoisting the cup, I think absolutely you give it to Chara and then straight to Tuukka Rask.
Smart
immediately.
Man. Absolutely.
There's a sentiment to that. He's the guy that is really won. He's going to win the Conn Smythe if they win it. He's earned it. He's been criticized up and down more than any other player except for maybe Chara in this town since they've been here, and he's going to lead them to the cup. If they have any sentiment at all, and Bergeron is on this, even if Chara hands it to Bergeron might just con the line right down to Tuukka Rask.
Right.
That's what I'm looking most forward to seeing is Tuukka Rask with the cup. That's the one guy. I'm a Patrice Bergeron lover. I want to see Tuukka Rask with that cup over his head.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think that, you know, I would love to see it.
Right,
I don't know if it
happens.
I would love to see it. It's going to be the most cathartic cup race that they have on that team. Maybe it's beside David
Backus.
The drama
of that would be awesome. I think tradition will hold that they'll give it to Bergeron second, but the wait for Tuukka will be so much better because you'll be waiting. When's Tuukka? And he's going to get it to build up in him. And the guy who shows no emotion, who everyone said didn't care, and all this nonsense. And I'd love to know what the cottage industry in this town, for the people who have made millions off hating Tuukka Rask, it's their only hockey take they've ever had in their damn lives. They've never even really watched a hockey game. They just say Tuukka bad, and that's what they get $1 million for. I cannot wait to see what he does to show up all these fools.
But Backus getting it would be such a letdown. I mean, except for the fact that it would be like,
why don't you love David Backus by now? I mean, David Backus is the glue holding this team together. Like Pete just said, he does so many of the little things, calming down Brad Marchand, getting these young guys. This is what he was brought in to do. I mean, clearly he has not lived up to the money. That's fine. But he's still this is why you got him, and he got it as soon as he got here, because he's the one in these young guys' ears, Jake DeBrusk, Brandon Carlo. You asked him about the fatherly influence this guy's had on him. Even when he's out of the lineup, even when he has the right to complain that he's not playing, he was in there, in their ears, keeping a positive vibe and keeping this team together.
I think he maybe gets bumped up in the pecking order if they win on St. Louis ice.
So you're letting playing in St. Louis dictate that Backus is going to be held to a high.
He wears a letter. So if they're going to give it to the captains first, then he's in there.
He's being paid $6 million. He should have a good attitude, even if he's scratched. I mean,
oh, and that's the way it works in sports, Ken. You know, all these great attitudes that people have.
Well, he knows he doesn't have
it
anymore.
Your NBA players that make $30 million and they're pouting all the time. I mean, geez.
He's realistic. He knows. I mean, they could win the cup. They would have won the cup and been here without David Backus. His role on this team has been fairly insignificant. Carson Coleman would have been just as fine.
I don't know about winning the cup without it. I mean, you look at the first round. And
Honestly, in game two, he played four minutes through two periods of play. And then he played more in the third period.
Look at that second game against Toronto. Are we talking about the cup final or are we talking about the whole playoffs?
The whole playoffs, he
has been very valuable
valuable, but not get the cup first after Chara.
But he's like the longest tenured guy without a cup. This is what they were talking about.
If Rask wasn't here, maybe you could consider that. But the Tuukka Rask story is so much more
important. The Tuukka Rask thing is going to be awesome because it's going to build up to him, and we're all going to be on our edge of our seat waiting for NBC to cut away to NBC Sportsnet, like Pete just said,
before
he gets it.
Like Aaron Rodgers in the green room, when will Tuukka get called?
Or they're going to lose, and some St. Louis radio station will take this entire segment and play it on their show and just rip us for
that's
hours.
Like I said, listen, I'm in this mode because I'm working on something this weekend that every person who hates jinxes would kill me for.
Well, I told you the Globe article in 2013 was halfway home.
That's right.
The Boston Sports Journal
headline
today was halfway home.
Something else Maria brought up. I think this maybe teams are going at the wrong Bruins in the wrong strategy, because if you think about it, the Bruins can play this style and play this physical game and have enough pushback and have enough skill to counter St. Louis. If you think back to 2013, there was no hate in that series. There wasn't anyone doing this on the Chicago side. They were such a skilled team, and they had some physicality, but there was none of this pushback. There were none of these. I can't remember one guy that we hated in that series. You know, there were some players that maybe you hate Kane because of the type of attitude or whatever. But nobody, there was none of this physicality that was, you know, pushing the Bruins, like, giving you that extra motivation. And it's funny too.
Shaw on that team?
Shaw was, yeah.
Right, Shaw, but he was kind of quiet in that series. I think he was on his best behavior pretty much in that series. He scored the winning goal in the first game. And I think it's funny too, you know, Rob Bradford said there was nobody to hate on the Blues, but I think we're finding plenty of candidates, and I told him
plenty
we would.
Candidates.
This is what happens, you know.
We're going to get your thoughts on Rob Bradford coming up before the show ends, because we like Cranky Kalman. Kalman, who is here in Boston with us. We like that here on the Sunday Skate Game 3 post-game edition. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. Darren Pang will join us at 9:30 to get his take on Jordan Binnington and him getting pulled last night. First, a trending.
What a glorious game of hockey that was.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Kalman on Sports Radio WEEI.
Craig, four power play goals. Obviously, you got to do better there. What did you see tonight?
Well, there's some deflections. Two of them went off. One went off. Well, Bergeron was a deflection. We didn't get a stick. The one went off Bouwmeester's stick and in. So we got to be better. Penalty kill's got to be better.
Left side, Cedro.
Craig, what did you see Perron do on the interference to get the first penalty of the game? The Perron penalty?
Well, he back-checked it and kind of interfered with the guy's motion. You know, it's a 50-50 call. I mean, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't.
Right side, second row.
Craig, I'm not sure what you make of all the penalties in the series that you've taken as a whole, but just it seems like game after game the team keeps talking about limiting the penalties, but they're not. What's your take on that?
Well, we do have to limit the penalties for sure. We know they have a dangerous power play, and we've been flirting with danger here the whole series, and it burnt us tonight.
Is St. Louis just used to becoming Boston's bitch?
Mark James encapsulating is the only
very kid. Subtle, very subtle.
The answer to that first question is absolutely unbelievable. You gave up four goals on the power play, and his response is, "Hell, some of them were deflections."
Well, there were some deflections.
Does he understand that deflections are like on purpose? They weren't accidental.
It wasn't a question about Binnington where it's like, some of those can't be saved. You asked about the power play goals.
Oh, my God.
You have a four.
Sometimes
who cares?
Sometimes listening to him, and this is an oldie but a goodie, it reminds me of Billy Crystal's impersonation of Leon Spinks, where he would just answer every question going, "I like eggs," because he took too many shots to the head. I just keep waiting for Berube to say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure Berube has an answer. Maybe
he
somebody
doesn't.
On the staff is savvy and has a second layer to it, but
the real answer to that question is, well, you either got to stop taking penalties or you got to be better on the penalty kill.
Yeah, at the beginning of the series, he was talking about how disciplined they've been, and we don't usually take these kinds of penalties. Three games will tell you differently at this point.
Well, that's what Cassidy called St. Louis a premier forechecking team, something along those lines. To paraphrase, coming in,
yep.
Everybody can see that they're obviously a physical team. They're big on the back end. They've got good defense.
And it takes so much energy to do that. I mean, again, we're seeing that part of it too.
But if that's not working, I don't think they have a counterpunch. Their special teams are obviously getting severely outplayed.
Yeah, and you know what, too? In those penalties, and when they get the power play, I mean, the Bruins had to kill two power plays without two defensemen who are penalty killers. One had Chara and McAvoy in the box, and the other had Clifton and Carlo in the box, and still were able to kill the penalties, mostly because of your man John Moore, but also because just, you know, the forwards obviously pressuring the right way and just the right schemes.
But that's why I don't see St. Louis winning three of the next four, three in a row, like Chicago did in 2013.
I hate to look at it like that, because like, people were talking about that yesterday, that anyone who lost that game last night was going to have to win three out of four. I mean, there clearly is no carryover from game to game here. I'm really looking at it as individual games, but nonetheless, clearly they are outclassed, and it's going to take a major thing happening here, like them injuring somebody big, to kind of turn this in, or Binnington just going nuts here.
I mean, that said, game two, they severely outplayed Boston for the third period in overtime.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit before that.
The second period.
Second period, too.
So, yeah. They were also playing with five defensemen.
They were playing with 5D.
They were down to 5D. And
so is that a legit excuse? Because most of the Bruins players afterwards said, that's not it. We were off our game, blah, blah, blah.
I think it's part of
it. We've done that before.
It's part of it. And then, you know, it was the shooting yourself in the foot scenario there, where Marchand makes those two gaffes on the one goal, and the 6-on-5 goal, clearly they got caught on the ice too long. That whole unit that was out there in the 6-on-5 was gassed and didn't have the right spacing to get the puck out and at least get the change or get the touch and get the penalty going. And so there's two goals right there that, you know, you don't usually would give up.
They had a 4-minute penalty to kill off in the second, so they were kind of gassed. Yep. They were out of sorts.
Right, and that was Clifton's penalty, so they were doing it with 4D, killing off in 4 minutes. I mean, they were spent by the end of that one, but so was St. Louis, because, like I said, we saw in game two against Toronto what it took for the Bruins to win that game, get into it physically, and how long it took them to recover. I still hold that they had a hangover from that game, even through games 3 and 4, where they were able to squeak out that game for a win, but they didn't have the same energy until later in that series, and maybe the same thing happened to St. Louis here.
But all that said, I can understand how fans don't want Kalman writing something significant.
Oh my God.
In terms of,
if you believe in jinxes, seriously, is the deal?
Well, if you're
here?
A fan, it's right. Fine.
Well, I don't think that we've seen the strength versus strength to this point in the series, where both team has had their game.
Right.
Because you look at game one, obviously it goes in the Bruins' favor, and the Blues look terrible for about 40 minutes.
Except I would argue that the Blues' game against the Bruins might be what we saw last night, because they clearly don't think they can play hockey with them. They've decided to just hit everything that moves. And
well, yeah, but also, like, if you play more 5-on-5 in a game like that, it's way closer.
But will we see that?
That's a good question. But I mean,
they just keep taking penalties.
If they do manage to get things under control, and you play at least one game this series that's mainly 5v5,
right?
It could be a close game.
And Sundqvist will be back, so their fourth line's good. Their top line is pretty good. They're playing with, they're at least competing with the Bergeron line.
Sure.
Well, maybe last night they got.
The Bozak line's been quiet, I think. Don't you think?
Like, I think that's the one thing that if you're a Blues fan you can take away from last night, is that they looked okay at 5-on-5, but there just wasn't much 5-on-5 play.
And, you know, O'Reilly, you expect him to be much better, especially if Bergeron is injured.
I told you guys before the series started, O'Reilly has not had a good playoffs.
Yeah, and he hasn't taken advantage of Bergeron at all, except maybe a little bit in game two on faceoffs. But why aren't the Blues trying to exploit that?
Kevin and Weymouth joins us here on Sunday Skate. Ken Laird, Matt Kalman, and Pete Blackburn. Hello, Kevin. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, why are you talking about raising the cup right now when we've won two games?
That's our job.
Yeah, come on, Kalman. Why are you doing that?
It says here on the screen, counting my chickens. I'm counting my Benjamins. I'm going to have a whole summer of covering cup appearances. That's major bucks.
No, do you think they're the better team, Kevin?
I think the Bruins are a better team, but... we got to, you know, we got to finish this off. Four games. I mean, it takes four games to win it. So,
I picked Bruins in three. Right, so,
no, I mean, I'm with Kevin. Yeah. I'm with Kevin. We should not be talking about this.
Not over.
No,
Pete, you believe in jinxes?
No. You can talk about it, but you can't raise the cup until you win four games.
Listen, we have to talk about it because you never know if we're going to have another show.
Kevin, you know you want to weigh in. Who gets the cup second when Chara hoists it? Who does he hand it to? Who's the first guy dishes
I'm not
to?
Gonna,
no, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Come on, just theoretical world. Come on.
I want Charlie Coyle.
Ooh.
Oh, good one.
I like it.
From
like
Weymouth.
It.
From Weymouth.
I want Charlie Coyle to raise that cup.
Is Charlie Coyle from Weymouth, too? Get out.
Are you related to Charlie Coyle? Apparently what I've learned is that everybody from Weymouth is related to Charlie Coyle.
We're not related to Charlie Coyle.
Okay. They are now that he's in the cup final, right?
I want tickets. Charlie, give me tickets.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Pastrnak and Coyle scored their 8th goals of the playoffs last night. That ties now Marchand, second behind Bergeron in goals scored. Bergeron has 9, 7 on the power play. Third time the Bruins have had 4 players with 8 or more goals in a single postseason. One of the other times was 2011 when they won the Cup. So 4 8-plus goal scorers. Coyle, I would never would have had for 8 goals. Are you kidding me? That's another. It's like unexpected things to happen this postseason. Number one is Torrey Krug. He's my Conn Smythe winner. I agree with Ken Campbell. Mm-hmm. Number two would be Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, Charlie Coyle, you wouldn't expect him to take 8 shots, let alone have 8 goals. And not a knock on him as a player, just saying that he's known as a playmaker. The rap on him was Devin wants to shoot the puck, and he's got 8 goals.
Worth pointing out, Ryan Donato, 0 goals in this postseason.
Right. Ooh, that hurts. More impactful, prettier goal last night, the Coyle goal or the Bergeron face-off win and deflection. Both were things of beauty.
I like the Coyle goal because the Coyle goal was actually a Bergeron-esque play. Wins the puck battle below the goal line, helping Charlie McAvoy out, sidesteps a check, and comes out, gets it up, Heinen with the great pass, and then Magic Johansson with the pass to Coyle. I mean, that was
a thing of beauty. How about Kevin Paul DuPont blatantly stealing from Magic Johansson on Twitter?
Listen, you don't work in this.
Hey, no shame.
You don't cover this team for 15 years and not having people steal stuff from you, okay?
I must have missed that because I'm blocked by KPD on
Twitter.
You
are? Yeah. For what?
I called him a dinosaur like 4 years ago.
Ass bleep.
Oh, my God.
Well, at least there was a reason.
Kevin Paul Dinosaur? Is that what you just called him?
I think I photoshopped his face onto a dinosaur.
I remember that now that you say that. I do. That was a classic. But people are always stealing stuff from me. What do you want? You guys are lucky. You hired the best Bruins writer there is, and everyone steals from me. So
I know. Anderson shoving you during the season.
It's about time.
Shoving you in the back.
Exactly. Fights in the press box. They want to see, that's how it works in the press corps, too. They try to knock me off my game, come up behind me with a shove from behind. But you know what I do? I do a Tuukka Rask. I say I let my writing do my talking.
The media sucks. It's a shame you weren't there last night to ask the hard-hitting questions. Are you salty that Bradford didn't get you out there for Game 3? Because I think you made the right call for Game 3, but I would have you there for Game 4. You would be flying out like in a couple hours.
As a freelancer, I know it's wise not to criticize my bosses because, like I said, there could not be another show, and there might not ever be another Matt Kalman story on EI.com.
But Bradford's playing in the media game Yankee Stadium.
All I know is that there's people who were usually blogging from their mom's basement, and their media entities sent them out to St. Louis. No, Pete's here. But
Bradford?
But you will be there for a Game 6, which could happen. I still have Bruins in 6.
It could happen. Who knows? But I don't think it's happening. I think we're going to get the...
You think it's a 5?
This is over. It's over. I'm already planning the cup distribution, all right?
All right. It is Sunday Skate. Do you think it's over? 617-779-7937. Darren Pang joins us at 9:30. Laird, Calvin, and Blackburn on Sunday on Sports Radio WEI.
Come on, let's go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Kalman on Sports Radio WEEI.
And I was curious if you were bothered at all by what Binnington said after the hit in Game 1, if you saw it, where he said maybe he was on something because he said your pupils were dilated when you stared him down after that. And if it bothered you at all, and just kind of how you feel this whole series.
No, I mean, I'm not on social media or anything right now, so I don't see it. But obviously we have a great PR staff that makes you aware of things that are said. Keep your head down and go to work. That's been, myself and Brandon Carlo, that's been our motto for a long time now. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. Doesn't matter what matchups are, doesn't matter who you're playing against. We just put our head down and go to work, and that's what I'm feeling right now, and I'm going to continue to do that.
Well, Game 3, be remembered as the Torrey Krug four-point night or the perfection line emerging?
What?
I like the tweak you
got to say. Got to say.
Say that because that. NHL media headline, Bergeron nets 3 points as the perfection line stays hot on the road. That's the official.
All the more reason they hate it if it's becoming the official.
None of those points
nickname.
Came from even strength.
Well, come one on. Of them. What the, no, they all power play? Oh,
all power
Krug's,
play.
Krug's points were all power play, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we should definitely keep up the Stanley Cup distribution talk because if you look at the Twitter machine, Dale Arnold's getting in a frenzy about it.
Oh, uh-oh.
He's kind of fired up about it. He doesn't want us talk jinxing it.
I got to say, I couldn't help but notice that Torrey Krug didn't directly answer whether he was on something in that response.
I noticed that as well.
That'll be the next conspiracy out of Toronto. Torrey Krug's on drugs.
I've been tested more than any other player. He'll go off on the Ortiz rant.
That's right.
I want to talk about the top line, though, whatever you want to call them. What do you call them? Because you give out nicknames. You give out Magic
about,
Johansson.
How about
right?
The Holy Trinity? Somebody give that to me. I like
Holy
that.
Holy Trinity?
Yeah. The father, the rat, or the father, the pasta, and the whole, and the dirty rat or something like that.
Well, the Bergeron line has, on the road in the postseason, that's what the stat is from NHL Public Relations, in 9 road games, 15 goals, 31 total points, and they combined for 5 points yesterday, as Pete points out. A lot of that is power play action.
Yeah. Do you think anyone in St. Louis is today is wondering, what's wrong with Tarasenko? He had an 8-game point streak, and then he didn't get a point. So we have
I
to say,
so,
what's
actually.
Wrong with him?
He's not finished. He didn't finish last night in a couple key opportunities early. I guess
it's a hard question because obviously no one in St. Louis is ever going to criticize anything a St. Louis athlete ever does. So I guess it's kind of a moot
point.
Well,
he missed one early, and Pastrnak actually blew a great chance early in the game. Bergeron put it right on his stick, and I'm thinking, boy, if they lose this game, you're going to look back to that.
They came out, and they were forcefully passing the puck. Did you notice that? They were just slamming the puck at each other, even a couple times early, letting it hit the sideboards and playing it off the sideboards. They clearly came out and said, we're not making soft plays. We're going to make the hardest plays possible. And that, I think that was a big reason why Pastrnak missed that pass from Bergeron, because he hit it so hard.
Much pace.
Pastrnak wasn't ready for it. He could have handled it, but he wasn't necessarily ready for it. Because I think especially Bergeron and Marchand came out and said, okay, we're going to make hard plays no matter what, even if it means a couple miscues early.
But if you're more realistic about 5-on-5 and the way the series has gone, the Bruins' top line, you could certainly argue, is still getting outplayed, even despite last night's 7-2 win. As Pete points out, a lot of the action there was on special teams. They had chances 5-on-5 last night.
Yeah. I don't think that they got outplayed last night.
Not last night. In fact, the Corsi, Bergeron 5-on-5 against Parayko 10-4 and Marchand 13-4 against
I think
Parayko
last night more than any night, and Pete's more into this, but I think last night a lot of it was score affected, the Corsi stuff you're looking at, because you looked at the numbers and it seemed like every matchup went to St. Louis and Corsi, because I think they were just shooting from everywhere at some point.
No, but I'm saying Marchand and Bergeron actually outplayed Parayko by a significant edge 5-on-5 last night, which didn't happen in the first 2 games of the series.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, some of the other numbers got
I was looking
late.
At Char and Carlo, and it was tough to judge based on that because they clearly were just firing away when they got down by a lot.
But as Bruin Stats points out on Twitter, the top 3 lines, 1 goal, 4 allowed in 5-on-5 play through the first 3 games. Oh. And they're getting a lot of ozone faceoffs. They're not controlling the play consistently. They haven't been. So if there's any sign or stat that indicates St. Louis is not out of it, that's still it to me. You can't say the Bruins' top line is back beyond a shadow of a doubt. We don't know that yet.
Except it hasn't. First of all, so much of their work is on the power play, though, especially in the playoffs this year, that at least you're getting that. And second of all, is until St. Louis proves that it can stay out of the box, then it doesn't matter. If it's going to be a special team series, then they have no shot. And
well,
clearly,
for me, I mean, I don't care what they put up in terms of production offensively, because we've seen throughout these playoffs that the Bruins have depth and they can pick up that first line when they're not scoring. The bigger issue to me was that they were allowing way too much on the other end of the ice through the first 2 games. They didn't allow that in game 3. So that's where you say is the quote unquote perfection line back, but you can't say, well, they got 3 points. Bergeron got 3 points. They're back. Yeah, they got on a power play.
Yeah, and Marchand was the number 2 star of the game, but I didn't really sense him being a major factor. Like, he was good on the PK, actually, and he had a couple chances, but it wasn't like Marchand was the star of the night, I didn't think.
Listen, joking aside, we have to put this perfection line thing to bed, because, first of all, it was made up by someone who's the 1A Tuukka hater in the world, who's made his career based on Tuukka Rask. If we're going to throw him a bone and give him the line name, too, then we should all just quit, because it's dark world.
Who?
You know, the big guy.
Oh, why can't you name Haggerty? Why don't understand this?
Why can't I name him?
He who must not be named.
Exactly. Yeah. He who must be not renamed.
Is it better that way?
Because the same way he searches his name on Twitter, he probably searches his name through the audio.
That's
and,
a Haggerty
and
creation?
Look for us talking
the perfection
him.
Line?
That's what they tell me. I wouldn't know.
Because he's blocked you?
Oh, yeah. I am blocked.
I am not I'm blocked. In the club.
You're not blocked by
we
him.
We have all people.
You're
circle
blocked
of
by
friends.
Oh, because he needs. Because he used to need Pete's gifts.
Oh, he used to steal them all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so that's why he needs. That's why he needs. Oh, he would never block Pete.
Who doesn't? You don't get offended at that, dude.
I don't get offended by it. When he means steals, he means he doesn't watch the game and then watch
right.
and use the gifts.
Right. Listen to the game on the radio and look at the gifts and then piece it together.
Well, the perfection line's not the worst. Better than the Trinity line. He's got you beat there, and people have picked up on it. So I think you're jealous that Haggerty.
Well, Canadians have picked up on it, and you're not going to trust that, are you?
Sure.
They're
sure.
basketball
they
know
the
people.
Game.
Exactly.
Oh, they
are. It's a basketball country.
All right. Darren Pang is a hockey guy. He's a goaltending expert. We will talk to him about Jordan Binnington in the next hour. 9:30, he will join us. Pulled from the game last night. Is Binnington going to be mentally fragile, mentally weak, coming off last night's performance? We'll discuss that among many issues. It's a bonus hour of Sunday Skate with you until 10 a.m. when Bradfoe, Wiggy, and Reamer join us. It's Ken Laird, Matt Kalman, and Pete Blackburn, Sports Radio WEI.
The Erection Line.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.